Well, welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. For those of you that are new here, I'm a longtime real estate investor, done thousands of real estate deals. That's how I built up my portfolio of properties over the years as a store of value, as a store of wealth. I believe it's one of the greatest ways to store wealth and preserve wealth that we have as an investing vehicle. And I also want this show to be a way to teach you how to build long-term wealth by taking those short-term profits, whether it's in crypto or stock market or other places, and moving those into long-term investments. And we hopefully try to bring you the financial news that other people aren't going to cover here on this show and on mainstream media, on the corporate-run mainstream media. Hey, we have a newsletter that we publish every day. It's called the Morning Invest Newsletter. Just go to morninginvest.com. It's our website. And subscribe. I think we had about 500 people sign up yesterday. So great. Come on over to morninginvest.com. We publish that newsletter first thing in the morning, and it'll be delivered to your email inbox right away, right there. That's how you do it. By the way, if you notice when you come over here to morninginvest.com, there's a, see this tab on the right says send us a voicemail. You can actually leave me like a 30-second voicemail message. I'm going to try to start including those here in the show. So if you have a question, whether it's about finances, taxes, crypto, investing, real estate, anything, you know, financial related, financial news related, that's what this show is about. Send it to me and I'll try to play it here on the show. So again, morninginvest.com. All right. So we got a lot of news to get to. Let's start with the markets. We got to start with the markets. And, you know, we're looking at this recovery right now. Are we in a recovery? Are we bouncing back after yesterday's craziness? Here is where we stand right now at this hour on the top charts of CoinMarketCap. Ethereum or Bitcoin bouncing back to Bitcoin dominance levels after it was down into that 30% range. Ethereum up as well. The 24-hour volume up again. But I have to show you this. I mean, so we see this bounce back price now right around 41,000. It was hovering around 42. So this morning I'm looking at Bitcoin saying, okay, where do we need to be on Bitcoin for this, for bulls to be, start showing up here. So let's look at this chart. So this is Bitcoin. This is a 4-hour chart. And here's the EMA ribbon. When, you know, when these things start to crunch, think about this ribbon, when it starts to get squishy, when it starts to collapse down like here on the upper left-hand part of your screen here, when it starts to collapse and it starts to cross the price, actually moves, when the price action actually moves across, that's when you know you can either go up or down. So this, obviously we saw this trend going down here, and here is where we are on the 4-hour chart right now. We see at the bottom here, we see some volume coming in. So I was looking at the 40, zoom back out here. This, I right around here is this morning as I was studying this, it really needed to be holding here at about the 45 range, 40,500 range for this, for bulls to be showing up and for me to think that this is, you know, turning this trend around. And sure enough, so it held and now it's moving nicely, much higher right now. So right now, here's the price on Bitcoin, 41,000, up 27%. This is a nice move for Bitcoin. And, you know, I think for a lot of people yesterday who got really scared and saw this hit 30,000 at its worst yesterday, down to 30,000. You know, you have to remember. So I went back and looked at a number of the charts sort of over the life cycle of Bitcoin this morning. And one thing you'll notice is that there's always been these big dips. There's always been these big retests. And they've always been followed by a major explosion in value. So why would this time be any different? Like, why is this going to be any different this time? Anthony Scaramucci was on just a few minutes ago, and you know, he had this to say about, you know, is he still a bull given the price movement of Bitcoin and the market overnight? Take a listen.
And I think still, Anthony, a Bitcoin bull, correct?
Yeah, and listen, very much so. I still think the bull market is intact for Bitcoin. If you go back over the different slides in Bitcoin over the last 12 years, this is consistent with those slides. Having said that, you had a very big run-up at the beginning of the year because of all the expectation. But Andrew, you know this better than anybody. Most of the smaller players are using tremendous amounts of leverage. Think of the GameStop situation. Bybit yesterday, based on our research department, we think over $8.6 billion of crypto accounts were flat out liquidated yesterday which not only hit Bitcoin, but it really decimated those altcoins. So
long-term bull still in this space. I believe that, you know, that's the case. I am too. In fact, yesterday I bought in big on Bitcoin when it was very low in the 30s. So happy to see it coming back this morning. How many of you bought yesterday, or how many of you held and aren't freaking out about this? Let me know in the chat right now where you guys are at with this. Did you even buy? I know, David, you bought in like a little bit just the other day. Did you buy below that level or right around this level right now?
I bought a little bit below, and I bought just again this morning.
Oh, good. So you bought before the show, so it's been rising this morning. So I think, you know, when you look at some of these price targets right now, we could be heading towards 70,000 Bitcoin. And I think that's not unreasonable at all. Where we're seeing some of this movement coming in right now. And you're seeing like RSI is strong, seeing volume coming here. So, you know, where we were yesterday is like a distant memory already, from where we were yesterday. Again, each time, you know, I thought this morning, okay, we could be seeing, we have a, you know, rounded bottom here and then up, you know, here, rounded bottom here, a big decline, you know, are we going to have another, maybe, and we'll see. But I mean, I wanted this to hit this 40,500 range. Like once it was at 40,500, it had to hold that level with bulls coming in here and spending money and buying it up. We learned that Michael Saylor yesterday bought more, and you know, talk about being a Bitcoin bull yesterday. I pull up his, here's what he had to say. Entities I control now acquired 111,000 Bitcoin and have not sold a single coin, Satoshi coin, forever. Bitcoin forever. And a number of companies have bounced back this morning. So he is, of course, the CEO of MicroStrategies. His stock is up this morning. Tesla stock up this morning because Bitcoin rising. They own a lot of Bitcoin. A lot of these institutions, these companies that have Bitcoin in their holdings are up this morning. You know, I think it's, I know so many people concerned about this number right now, but I have to say, I really believe this really feels like the bottom. There's a couple of, I mean, I think there's a couple of good reasons why 30,000 is probably the bottom. You had a number of catalysts that helped stop this whole thing. Yesterday, Elon Musk tweeted the fact that they didn't sell any of their Bitcoin. They're holding on to their Bitcoin. There is still some of these regulatory uncertainties right now. And you know, retail traders are also have been pushed out of the space now. So some good news there. So some of these retail people who maybe shouldn't have been investing in the first place kind of shook off some of that off the tree. But right now, I think, you know, you have some really good signs that this huge correction is just that, just a small, you know, just a big correction. And we're going to see a number of these bigger institutions already moving into this space. And that's what Anthony Scaramucci is talking about, that people aren't really talking about a lot of these big whales, these big fish that are jumping into this. Here's what he had to say about that.
Bull case longer term for Bitcoin. How much does it have to become a true store of value for institutions to get to the kinds of levels, the 100,000, 200,000, 300, you know, some of the big numbers, if you want to have, you know, remarkable returns on Bitcoin at this point, how much do the big institutions have to come into this?
Well, listen, we've had remarkable returns without a lot of institutional saturation. You've got roughly 2% of the world adopting Bitcoin right now. Just look at the math. If you go to 4 to 6%, I think those coins, because of the scarcity of them, and there's a large group of people, including ourselves, that are holding the coins, or as they say, hodling those coins, you could see the exponential liftoff that we're predicting. I said to Joe earlier in the year, $100,000 price target for Bitcoin. My friend and colleague Kathy Wood has a $500,000 longer term target, but I do think $100,000 is still achievable. And look at the way Bitcoin has bounced over the last 36 hours. It's a good sign.
So, you know, Kathy Wood of ARK Invest has a $500,000 price target for Bitcoin. You know, and a number of these guys, a number of these hedge fund managers and such have $100,000 price targets for Bitcoin. So this bounce, now we're just crossing the 4,200 range on Bitcoin right now on TradingView. So here we go. Yep, just crossed 4,200 or 42,000, excuse me, 42,000. Here we go. And it's going to, and look, RSI is consistent here. The volume is consistent. This is good. This is a good sign for Bitcoin bouncing back. And now could, you know, where is this going to go to? Are we just in the, you know, a small little fake out here? Is this just like a little fake out? We're going to drop down further? No, maybe. But the patterns aren't suggesting that that's the case right now. So anyway, let's check Ethereum. That's also bounced back. I own a bunch of Ethereum, and I'm glad to see that this is up 40% so far over the year. But, you know, look at just in a short amount of time here, up to 2,900 right now. Do you know any, do you own any ETH yet or no?
No.
I think this is going to hit 100,000 to 20,000 in maybe even by the summertime, by June. That's one of the price targets on Ethereum. How many people in the audience are own Ethereum?
I've seen a lot
of
people.
How many people do we have watching right now? I got to get you some smashing some like buttons down there. Get some like buttons smashed. You know, one of the big concerns, of course, is the crypto legislators seeing, or, you know, legislators seeing possible regulations coming. And there's a lot of concern about that. Well, look, we know what China is, right? China is a centralized government. They're not going to have their own, you know, they're not going to allow Bitcoin. So we just get it out of our heads, like, you know, just forget about it. So, you know, the Fed right now is studying various ways to address this issue. And that's what we saw yesterday, according to Bloomberg, that regulators are still trying to figure out, like, how to deal with this, you know, volatile market. Randy Quarles spoke of a lack of sufficient regulations as one of the reasons why we're seeing this volatility. Texas Democrat Al Green asked Quarles to offer ideas on how Congress should regulate the market, declaring that this is a serious issue. We need your expertise. They are, of course, volatile by nature. They have large corrections. This has been the norm. And that's what I wanted to say about Bitcoin, folks. Like, if you look back historically at Bitcoin, these swings are totally normal. Again, take a look at this. This is Bitcoin in 2017. Showed you this yesterday, but this is worth showing again, which is, you know, you have a 38% increase, a 38% decline, followed by huge increases. 38% decline, followed by a huge increase. 33% decline, 30, all the same thing over and over again. Over and over again, the pattern repeats. And, you know, here we are again in this middle of this pattern again. Short time ago, Elon Musk decided to tweet about Dogecoin. So where is Dogecoin at this hour? I'll show you in just a second. Spiking nicely. So here was Elon Musk just a few minutes ago here before the show said, how much is that Doge in the window? And tweeted this. I don't even know what that means. Do you have any idea what that means? Like Cyber Viking? What does it mean to be a cyber? Is that, that's what it says, right? Cyber that, Viking.
Like maim, pillage, plunder? The stock market? Yes.
I don't know what that really means. I don't know.
I think it's just like a, you know, like like it's so unknown or whatever. It's like so volatile. Like Vikings were just like, volatile. I don't know.
Yeah. He also this morning tweeted something that Michael Saylor was tweeting about this morning. I thought it was interesting. So Michael Saylor, of course, Bitcoin billionaire. We've had him on the show. If you missed that interview, go check out my full hour-long interview with Michael Saylor. He has 2.5 billion Bitcoins or dollars in Bitcoin. He tweeted this morning, retweet if you're holding hodling Bitcoin. I'm not selling, he says. But then he responded to this new Financial Times piece this morning. Financial Times has this big cover story on, let me go to this site. So here's Financial Times this morning with their big cover story, Bitcoin's growing energy problem. It's a dirty currency, and they really take the piss out of Bitcoin. Michael Saylor and others, and that's in fact where, and then Elon Musk even weighed in on this. And saying, you know, there's so many people that like debunk this article in about 2 minutes amount of time. like pointing out that, you know, actually most or 40 or even like close to 50% of all of Bitcoin energy is renewable. So Michael Saylor was not happy about this. Of course, he has also slammed this type of journalism before. So he took to Twitter to slam this particular article as well. There's quite a bit of discussion about whether or not the production, the mining capability, the mining of Bitcoin is destroying the earth. And as Bitcoin experts would point out, even I think Anthony Scaramucci was just pointing out that it accounts for like 0.01% of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. And when you look at the banking industry itself, uses just an enormous amount more electricity than Bitcoin mining.
Let's look at fracking and oil production, right, and the gas production. Like, if you really want to go there, that's what I keep saying. If you really want to go there, let's go there.
Right. Let's do it. It's like Michael Keaton and Mr. Mom.
You want to get nuts?
Let's go.
Let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts? Oh yeah. You want to go there? You want to do that? All right. Let's get into it. It's funny to see this sort of back and forth and all of this FUD around this topic. I'm not saying they had, don't have huge areas of improvement to make in electricity and efficiency. Absolutely. And this whole Taproot project is not going to really do anything for that, but around privacy either. So yeah, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done on this issue. But when you actually see that this is moving the entire world towards a better ecosystem to help people, you know, as Michael Saylor said, this is electricity. This is electric currency. You know, it's electricity that is a store of value. It's a bank in cyberspace. And it's electrifying the world to help people who are unbanked get access to banking capabilities in a way that we've never had before. And so you're going to have these central banks. You're going to have these government regulators who are concerned about this stuff because they're worried about their own currency. That's what this really comes down to. They're worried about their own power. And they're going to find ways to try to bring it down, which they have been trying to do. Will it work? I don't think so, but we'll see. There were a couple of glitches yesterday. There were a couple of different, if you saw this, Coinbase, of course, we had Coinbase that went down, was locked up for a little bit. BlockFi, this was crazy. Can you imagine being one of the people that got this yesterday? BlockFi ended up sending tons of money to people inadvertently. They sent free Bitcoin, basically. Because when you sign up with BlockFi, you get promotions. They made an incorrect promo payout yesterday. Rather than making it in U.S. dollars, they did it in Bitcoin. And I think some of this could have contributed to the big sell-off because they ended up having to correct this issue. So what they did was they made what it called incorrect promo payouts in Bitcoin instead of U.S. dollars to certain customers. They reversed them. It was around $10 million when they did that. So they like basically correct it, take it back. So in a lot of ways, it even looked like it kind of pumped, you know? So some clients who participated in the March trading promotion may see an inaccurate bonus payment displayed in their transaction history. Our team is working on a fix and proper amounts will be reflected shortly. Am I right in thinking that BlockFi was meant to send $701, but sent this person 701 Bitcoin? Can you imagine that? You wake up in the morning and you're a billionaire. You're like, honey, I just got a bonus from signing up for, I'm a billionaire.
Let's go buy a Tesla.
That's what happened to some people. You wake up, you're like, here's your promo. Am I reading that right? 701 Bitcoin. Let me do the math on that. Do the fast math on that. 701 Bitcoin, 700 times 42,000. Oh, okay. It's not. It's 29 million. But you're not a billionaire, but 29 million is what you made on that.
So, I mean, how do you fix that? Like that? They're holding that much Bitcoin to do that? And
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a good question. I don't know how much Bitcoin they're holding. I mean, this is, BlockFi is part of the Gemini. I think it's run by Gemini, which is the Winklevoss twins run it, own it. So it's when you deposit money into BlockFi, you get GUSD, which is their Gemini US dollar, one for one US dollar conversion. I don't know how much Gemini is worth. I don't know if they're, by market, how much they are worth, and if they have that much Bitcoin to hand out to people. They're pretty visible non-bank cryptocurrency firm. They're doing some great stuff, and I have an account there as well. So I wasn't one of the ones that received $29 million yesterday, though. But that's a nice... It was a lot of mistakes yesterday. There was a lot of craziness going on in cyberspace.
You think how much of it do you think was around the China story?
Well, this China story, this is something we need to talk about. This China story is interesting. So yesterday, a lot of I wasn't one of them. We're a pretty big YouTube channel here, right? We've got like 500 and some thousand subscribers, right? But I did not get this message, or if I did, it went to my spam folder. But let me show you what some big YouTubers got yesterday or 2 days ago. And this is interesting to me because if this is, I would love to know like which of these big YouTubers knew about this and then didn't report it or say anything on their shows, didn't talk about it. But they received, so here's the email. Let me pull this up here. That's kind of crap. Let me see if I can download this. Download that. Yes, I can. Okay. All right, here we go. This is not going to be pretty. I'm going to try to read it for you because it's very small. But this is what was being sent around. This is like the secret message that was being sent around to from Anonymous on Tuesday night.
Up?
Okay.
There you go.
There. I just wanted to. So, hey guys. So this is around the Chinese stuff. So if you don't know what happened, there was suddenly a message from the Communist Party of China basically saying, hey, we are not going to allow retail. We are not going to allow financial institutions to use Bitcoin. It's too volatile. We don't want you to use it. And so this email, this message from Anonymous purported to know all about this before it was made public. This was sent to a couple of big YouTubers. Who, it'd be interesting to see. It's almost like it's not, since it's not a security, it's not like insider trading, but who knows? But anyway, some people knew about this, and I want to know like who it was and who didn't report this. But here's the story. Hey guys, insider here. For those of you that are not busy LARPing about and paying attention, there will be another announcement from China soon. Picture is semi-related. Can't tell you what firm I work for, but it's massive, and it's working with the PRC, People's Republic of China. The purpose of today's press release, alongside the FUD posting, is to get BTC as low as it can get before 7 a.m. UTC. First, there will be a coordinated sell-off to drop the prices below a certain threshold and liquidate one certain stakeholder. Can't outright say who he is, but he bought a lot in the dip and he was partly responsible for. Once this money is liquidated, the plan is then to buy up all the reserves and essentially leave him bankrupted. If you guys want to get rich, grab some coffee and watch the big dip. Once it happens, things are going to get green really fast. We are projecting $70,000 for Bitcoin. That is all. I did not receive this message. If I had received this message, I would not have lost quite a bit of money like I did yesterday as a result of this. And if I did receive this message, I don't know if can you report, can you take this and run with it and say, hey, I got this anonymous message. Is this going to happen? I make maybe have a short position in Bitcoin and be very careful and watch this if it starts to tank. But it would be interesting to see like which of the big YouTubers did receive it. I did not. A lot of people think that this was definitely a coordinated job here. I mean, how else can you explain this massive dump? And now he's right. Like, look at this. It's already back up. It's 42 and holding, over 42 and not going up. Not a surprise. And, you know, and all of them are now popping up. Look at Doge. You know, Doge is rocketing back. It was plummeting. And, of course, a lot of this on Elon Musk's tweet this morning, saying, how much is that Doge in the window worth? Cyber Viking. I still don't know what that means. If anyone knows what that means, let me know. I feel like I'm dumb. I don't know what that means. Hey, if you sign up for Bybit and you need a great place to get an IP address, or you need a VPN and you want to save some money on your virtual private network, I can't recommend them enough. The folks over at IPVanish, online security made simple. You know, when you sign up for any of these different platforms, you're going to need to get, you're absolutely going to need to get a VPN. And that's why IPVanish is so fantastic, because it's one of the most affordable in the business. IPVanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. It's a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computers, tablets, phones, even stuff like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media, your Apple TV. It's encrypted. Everything, what you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, protected. Now, for listeners of this show, IPVanish is offering an incredible 65% off. That's just $3.49 a month. Here's everything you get with IPVanish. You get anonymous IP addresses. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anyone on the web. You can circumvent any online censorship. IPVanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. And you get 24/7 support. Email them, chat with them, even call them. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. Claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at $3.49. This time, it's the time to sign up with our discount. Their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. They even have great ratings, 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot with more than 6,000 reviews. Show these guys some love. They are repeat sponsors. They are big supporters of our show. Remember, ipvanish.com/morninginvest. You'll need that. You absolutely need it.
Yeah, and also,
so
you need
again,
it to,
let's take a look
for
at,
any of the most of the trading things you're doing.
Yeah, like if you want to be on Bybit, and you know you want to use Bybit, you want to be on Binance or any of these. Like you need, plus just for your own banking, like. Think about all the cybersecurity problems we have now and all of the hacking that's going on. Like when you're doing banking, we know if you use a virtual private network, then all of that stuff is encrypted. It's all taken care of. So I usually route my internet traffic through Iceland, Iceland being the most secure country for internet traffic. So I usually, if I do any banking or things like that, doing it, you know, jump on the VPN and make sure that I'm in Iceland or other spots, not in the United States. So yes, good stuff. Good stuff. Well, let's talk about jobs numbers. This morning, jobs numbers, and we're seeing the market here. This is, take this shot here. Oh, it's not good. It's not good. Sorry. So jobs numbers out this morning, not good. Not a surprise. 2 weeks in a row now, we're seeing these jobs numbers, down. This is not where we need them to be. Even higher than we expected. Let me pull up the numbers here. It just came out a few minutes ago. Yeah. Still people looking for work. And there is some real signs of weakness here. I mean, you know, when we saw April's numbers were not good. Well, May's numbers are not good. And this week's numbers are not good. Down much lower than we expected or you know, we projected. So we keep missing these projections. We keep missing these projections, and it's kind of startling. What's funny to me, though, when I look at, like, Wall Street, when I look at, like, how Wall Street, like, stocks are up because, you know, Wall Street likes people being laid off. Look at these S&P up, Stocks trying for the first gain in 4 days. So stocks are up this morning after they get this crappy jobs report. You know, you want to see how out of touch Wall Street is with the people. Just all you need to do is look at Wall Street. Right there. All these stocks up, up, up. You know, as millions of people are still trying to get back to work and still trying to get food on the table, this is what we have in front of us right now. Just troubling. So the Federal Reserve, you know, what are they going to do? That's the question this morning. Is the Fed going to reverse course? Are they going to start to move and jump in on these interest rates? Now that we're seeing inflation, now that we're seeing these jobs numbers, you know, but Wall Street, again, out of whack. So talk about a K-shaped recovery. That's what we're seeing. You know, no wonder so many people are fed up with these guys, you know, these Wall Street fat cats, and they're moving into cryptocurrency as a store of value, moving away from this type of environment to try to protect themselves and their families. And we still don't have an infrastructure package in place. You know, we're still waiting on that, the framework of an infrastructure package coming anytime soon. I would love to know what that's going to start to look like. So will the Fed reverse course? There are a number of people saying that the Fed is actually going to hold their meeting soon. They're going to have a discussion and may actually alter plans. Remember, the Fed was going to sit back and not do anything. They were going to continue to buy up all of these junk bonds on Wall Street, all of this crap that nobody should want to own in their portfolio, but our Federal Reserve will buy it up in an effort to help all of these businesses stay liquid, right? We now know that these businesses are not buying, investing in research and development. They're not investing in people. What are they doing? They're buying back their own shares and giving their CEOs huge bonuses. That's what they're doing.
Well, that video you showed yesterday of that.
Yeah, Katie Porter.
Yeah, Katie Porter. I mean, that's just that shows you right there what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was, going after these big pharma execs and saying, so all of this money that you got in earning, you didn't spend any of it on research and development to create life-altering drugs. No. What did you do? Use that money for stock buybacks to enrich your shares, enrich your shareholders, and pay you millions of dollars in bonuses. At the same time, you're charging three times the amount for prescription drugs as other countries charge. Not surprising at all. So these jobs numbers. So what is the Fed going to do? I mean, what can the Fed do? Are they going to swoop in and try to change course now, even though they told us? I mean, think how that's going to look. But there are a number of people saying, even Larry Summers has been incredibly critical of the Federal Reserve. He's the former Treasury Secretary under Obama, said, I don't know, they backed themselves into a corner. They absolutely need to reverse course right now. They're making a huge mistake. If they continue this bond buying spree, they continue doing what they're doing, pumping this money into these big businesses, they've got to start doing something. And as inflation is starting to run away, you just know, looking around at the price of things, the price of everything has gone up and it's going to continue to go up. And who it's going to hurt the most, of course, is the little guy. Over and over again, it's going to be the little guy. It's going to be interesting to see what the Fed does here. And banks are doing really well. Bank stocks are up. All the big banks are doing great. Heck, they're doing so good that, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, Fidelity is even moving to roll out trading accounts for 13-year-olds. After they saw a 200% increase in the number of accounts that were opened during the pandemic. So they still want to go after these people. They're doing great. They're making money hand over fist. And yet you're, you know, being slaughtered. Unbelievable. Hey, there's going to be a new, one company that I'm invested in is Ford. And I wanted to bring this story to you because I'm not invested in a lot of brick and mortar companies, except ones that have a store of value, I believe, or value to them that aren't going anywhere. And the reason I invested in Ford is because I like what they're doing in the electric vehicle space. I think they are particularly primed right now with their added facilities. They have, the most popular truck, most popular vehicle in the world with the Ford F-150. Now all electric Ford F-150 announced yesterday. And President Biden got a chance to drive in this thing. And he said, whoa, this sucker is fast. Watch this.
Okay, here we go. You ready?
See it, sir.
You ready?
I'm surprised they let him drive it, you know? Normally they... Listen to how quiet that thing is, too. Like, you know, like a loud, like, diesel truck. Can't even hear it. The torque on this thing. That's the thing. The torque is supposed to be off the charts on this truck. You can't get torque like you can get an electric vehicle with, like, a gas vehicle.
Oh, man.
Just my, the amount of pull.
My friend took me, Ryan Levesque, he took me on a ride in his Tesla, and he was like, he's like, feel this. He's like, prepared. It was like riding in a rocket.
Yeah. They asked him, you know, would you buy this? He said, oh, I would. Of course, we can't let you drive anything, but I'm surprised they let him do that. You know, when President Obama was president, they, Jerry Seinfeld, they wanted to do the, like, the comedians in cars drinking coffee thing. And so they only let him drive in the front of the White House lawn, with Jerry, like just around the perimeter of the White House, like on that oval outside. They didn't even let him on the road. So I'm surprised they let him on this test track to do this, but he did. So he's driving this new Ford F-150. This thing is wicked, wicked fast. And what's cool about it is it's going to, you know, it's all electric, but a couple of the things that are interesting is that it has a frunk to it. So the front of this thing has no engine, right? Because it's an electric car, so there's no engine in it. And it has, it actually has an electric power ability that can power an entire home. Yeah, you heard me right. It has a lightning power. It's called the Ford F-150 Lightning that can power an entire home. Pricing for the vehicle right now is ranging about $39,000 for a work truck version to $52,000 for the consumer version that runs all the way up to $90,000 for a fully loaded model. And then you're going to get all these tax credits as well because it's an EV purchase. The Ford F-150 Lightning will be able to travel up to 300 miles per battery charge. And it goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. So, you know, this is a game changer. And you know what? They've already actually gotten a ton of orders for them. I think they were only going to make, I think if I have the numbers here.
Will there be a four-wheel drive version?
I think it is four-wheel drive.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure that's what, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know that should be. I can't imagine it wouldn't be. They also said that it has towing ability that is unmatched, and it'll have charging capabilities for work sites, or campgrounds, or homeowners that might lose electricity. So, like, let's say you know you have a power outage, it acts as its own generator for your house. So you can just plug in your house electric right to it if you lost power. It's crazy. I think that's an amazing. To me, it's like, oh, we can go buy a $10,000 generator, a Genrec generator, or just get a new truck that'll, in case we ever lose power, we can just plug our refrigerator in and plug the heating in, and we'll be fine for a day. Those batteries last a long time. They expect they're going to produce 40,000 of them. They're only going to make 40,000 of them because I think they're like, okay, we're going to test this market. This is our most popular truck. You know, let's test this market. So here was the CEO of Ford was on just a few minutes ago, and I managed to grab this. Listen to how many have already been pre-ordered, and they're only making 40,000. Listen.
What do you think the percentage breakdown will be in terms of number of people buying the Lightning versus the internal combustion F-150?
Well, good morning, Phil. So excited to talk to you from the very place where we revealed the new F-150 Lightning. Look, we have 20,000 orders already, 12 hours after the reveal, so the response has been great. We offer a hybrid F-150, a turbocharged EcoBoost F-150. We have diesel Super Duties, and we now have the Lightning. You know, we don't know what customers are going to choose. This is America's best-selling vehicle, so if there's one vehicle that's going to give us an indication of whether these EVs are going to take off, it'll be this Lightning. And as I said, with 20,000 orders already, we're off to the races.
That's crazy. 20,000 orders, and they only plan to make 40. That's a
how
nice
much
pre-order.
Do you think? How much do you think this PR campaign cost them to get the president to come drive their truck to boost sales?
I don't know. I mean, I bet the White House was all over this. You know, this fits the White House's narrative, doesn't it? I mean, it's It's clean energy. It's renewable. It's, you know, it's electric vehicle energy. It fits in with the tax credits. It fits in with their new plans for electric power grid all across the country. You can't buy this kind of, you know, I was watching the new Netflix show Halston. Have you seen that? The new Ewan McGregor plays fashion designer Halston. He's does an amazing job. He was a hat designer in New York City. And then, of course, Jackie O wore one of his pillbox hats that he made. And he became a legend, you know, in the hat business. And everyone wanted to buy a Halston hat. And then people stopped wearing hats and he had to reinvent himself. Anyway, just because she wore that hat, it just exploded. So the president driving a Ford F-150, I don't know. I don't know what that does to the market. But look at Ford stock this morning. I'll tell you what it does. So I own Ford stock. I bought in around, I think, $10. It's amazing when you look at this compared to like Dogecoin or like Bitcoin. You know, we're up about 3%. But, you know, they even talked about this is figuring right now, even the chip shortage that we're seeing. But up about 3% on the news of this Ford F-150 Lightning launch and President Biden driving this thing. I think this company is poised. I mean, I think this is a... I'm not a truck guy, but I got to tell you, like, that thing looks interesting to me. And then, you know, especially it has that frunk in the front, so you can actually put groceries and suitcases and things in the front of it because there's no engine. Instead of having to worry about your groceries in the back of the truck, that's one of the criticisms of trucks. People would like to take it to the grocery store, but they're like, I don't want my stuff flying around out there. Now it has a full trunk in the front of the car because there's no engine.
If that's their agenda and all that stuff, how come they never did that for the Tesla? Is it because is Tesla not a U.S.? Based company?
No, it is. I don't know. Did Obama do stuff with Tesla? Did he?
I don't remember
Obama going to the Tesla factory in Fremont, California, didn't he? I thought I remembered him doing like a tour out there.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure I do. Yeah. Well, and also, of course, with solar stuff, I think the Obama administration did some things with Tesla and their solar agenda. As well. So I don't know. Ford is taking online reservations for the electric F-150 right now with $100 deposit. So $100 deposit. We have more news to get to here. I want to show you a few coins that survived the craziness yesterday, but I want to show you first. I got to bring this up here and I forgot to do it. Our friends at Scoremaster. So how many of you, you know, deal with, credit score problems, you know, just issues around credit. Do you know the average American has 97 points that they could add to their credit score and have no idea how to get them? Well, that's what Scoremaster does. It's the new credit. It is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. So forget raising your credit score just a few points. That's terrible. That's weak. The average Scoremaster user raises their credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. That's right. 61 points. So say your credit score was in the high 500s to high mid 600s when you bought that new car. If you'd gone to Scoremaster first and then raised your credit score just a little bit, just that 61 points, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. Like, that's how it affects people. And if you go on a Scoremaster before applying for that home loan and raised your score just 61 points, our listeners, the average that our listeners get, 61 points, you could have saved almost $100,000 on your home loan because of that. So if you got a business, you know how essential getting great credit is, from getting a loan to funding projects to financing equipment, all of that. So go to Scoremaster first and get super boosting your credit score. It'll save you a fortune. So again, very, very simple to do. Scoremaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points Scoremaster can add to your credit score. Visit scoremaster.com/invest. scoremaster.com/invest. What's happening over in the chat room here? What questions do people have? Any good super chats I can read here?
Yeah, we got lots of super chats. We've got, okay, Tony, Mark Phillips' wife has left two messages about him. Okay. Hopefully Mark is doing okay. Sarah, I didn't see her comments in there. Nicole Blank, don't let the dip scare you. Buy the dip.
Buy the dip. By the way, we're working on a new shirt for buying the dip. The Morning Invest Buy the Dip shirt. So
And it does not mean tobacco. Just so you know.
No, no dipping. I tried that one time when I was in high school. My friend Andy liked to do that. He just liked to pack a dip, you know? And I never did it. We were out on a boat. My friend Chris, Andy, and I went fishing and went on this little boat on this little pond. And we were on this boat. And he's like, here, you want to try it? I'm like, all right, fine. So tried it. And he's like, you just got to keep it there. You know, you got to keep it there. I was like, okay. And I just started like, oh, I started getting super nauseous. And then they started rocking the boat on me on purpose. I was like, oh, stop it. Stop it. And then I got back and I got sick. And then they just took me home. I was like back in the car with my head out of the window. Like, oh. And then we got home and I just laid in bed. It was a Friday night and I fell asleep at like 7 p.m. I was such a lightweight.
That's funny. I lived in a town called Bremen, Indiana, and there was a bunch of cheerleaders there that chewed tobacco. And the joke or the thing that people said about the girls in that town were they either baled hay or ate it because it was like a farm town.
Uh-huh.
But like girls chewing tobacco is just kind of funny. I never got into it either. As a freshman in high school, I was 4'11" as a freshman. So I was a tiny kid. And some juniors grabbed me and put me in they took me in the bathroom and they put a Skull Bandit. You remember those? The Skull Bandits. They were pouches. Put it in my mouth and like held my mouth shut. And then it broke in my mouth and I ended up swallowing some of it. So,
oh my God,
I never wanted to do that stuff. It was disgusting.
school.
Yeah. David Nino Brown. So degenerate gamblers are responsible for this.
Degenerate gamblers. I don't know. I don't know who's responsible. I think it was a coordinated thing. This thing out of China seems to me the most compelling thing that happened. I don't exactly know, you know, what the truth is. But when you have this, email that's predated to when this is all going to happen, that's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it's pretty compelling that when you had that actual message. Whoop, sorry.
Is that Willy Wonka?
Yeah, it was a commercial. When you had this stuff actually happening and people are getting this data and they're saying, wow, you know, let's see if I can find that again.
And real quick, Tony Breeden said, Mark is doing good. Drugs making him obnoxious. Wife's words, not mine. So Sarah said that the drugs are making him obnoxious. Thank you, Tony.
Good. I'm going to show you some coins here that survived yesterday. So one coin that I was watching pretty closely yesterday because I'm invested in it and I wanted to see how well it would survive given this craziness yesterday was Polkadex. So Polkadex, despite the downward, the collapse yesterday, actually held fairly strong. Here, let me show you Polkadex here. So PDEX, of course, as you know, I'm very bullish on Polkadex. They haven't even really launched yet. They haven't even launched their mainnet project. And by the way, today is the Polkadot conference for two to three day Polkadot conference. So it's going to be so PDEX, just Polkadex. Oops, held pretty strong yesterday. And so like, I like to say, like, if you see some of these coins right now that have survived what we saw yesterday, good on you. And so I'm thrilled to see Polkadex bouncing back. I'm thrilled to see a bunch of these altcoins bouncing back, because of what's happening right now in the market. Just a short time. Let me look at Dogecoin bouncing back. ETH, Ethereum, almost up to 3000 again. And Bitcoin just under 42,000. So it peaked above 42 just a little while ago. It's back down around 41,959 right now. Again, continuing to show some strength here. Bulls came in. Like I said, it needed to hold that 40,500 range. It did. So that's good news as we start to see this recovery. Again, I want to show you this chart just to remind you, right? Every time, this is a 2017 chart. So when you see these pullbacks, 38% pullback, 30, it just keeps running up. Every time we've seen a pullback, it has run up. Every single time. I'm a student of history. You know, if you're not studying history in this, then you're gonna, you know, you've got to pay attention to these patterns. Right? Right, Grover? So that's one coin. The other one that I think is showing real promise this morning is Cardano. So let's take a look at Cardano. This ADA is showing really, you know, nice resilience during this downturn. Up this morning on a four-hour chart. So ADA. ADA. This is the USDT chart. So ADA, Cardano, also doing really well. Kind of hit this, where did it hit most? Yeah. $1.40, 1.8 right now. So some good movement there as well. On these coins that survived. So two big coins that I think survived, did pretty well. Not terribly yesterday. Obviously, everything kind of took a dip. But if people set short positions and managed to profit. Overall, though, you know, we're bouncing back. So the question this morning is this Bitcoin 30,000 level the bottom? I think there are enough indications to show right now that as long as those bulls are holding that 40,000 level, and it seems they are, it broke that 40,500 level for BTC, we could be on our way back up again. And again, if this email is to be believed, this sort of conspiracy email that we saw this morning. Let me pull this up here again. Where's my downloads folder? But this was the, you know, again, if you joined us late, this is the email or message that was sent by anonymous person to some of the biggest YouTubers out there. I did not receive this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have lost a ton of money. But this was sent on Tuesday night. Okay. Hey guys, I'm an insider here. For those of you that are not busy and paying attention, there will be another announcement from China very soon. Picture semi-related. Can't tell you what firm I work for, but it's massive. And it's working with the People's Republic of China. The purpose of today's press release, alongside the FUD posting, is to get BTC as low as it can get before 7 a.m. UTC. First, there will be a coordinated sell-off to drop the prices below a certain threshold and liquidate one certain stakeholder. Can't outright say who he is, but he bought a lot at the dip and was partially responsible for it. Once liquidated, the plan is then to buy up all the reserves and essentially leave him bankrupted. If you guys want to get rich, grab some coffee and watch for the big dip. Once it happens, things are going to get green really fast. We are projecting $70,000 Bitcoin. That's all. Then he posts again later. He says, I am the insider you're looking for. I don't have much time. Everything is going according to plan. And then what happened? It's crazy. I mean, coordinated. Frightening, right? Track this guy down. But this is why you're starting to see Fed and other central banks saying, we got to do some regulation here. We got to find out a way to, you know, regulate this. And I think a lot of the big Bitcoin owners would be happy to have it regulated. They've said as much. You know, bring some stability to the marketplace. Fine. We do that with the stock market, right? So why shouldn't we do it with Bitcoin and crypto? That's fine. We're going to do some pet photos today as well. Because tomorrow I am not here, and so I don't want to have that fall on my lovely wife. So we'll do that today on the show. Any other questions in Super Chat land that I can answer while we're jumping around here?
Yes. Katie Wilgo, Super Chat. Manny Maldonado, any potential for Doge to go up with the market?
Well, let's look at it. It is already this morning up nicely this morning. So, yes, the answer is. Will it hit previous highs? I don't know. But when you have Elon Musk this morning tweeting about it, saying, how much is that Doge in the window? And price spiked as a result of that. It's funny how he just tweets and just like a price spike. I mean, look at Look at gold, though, this morning. Also, gold up nicely, and so is silver. A lot of big people moving their money, in institutional investors moving their money into gold and silver to protect their wealth in this crazy hyperinflation time right now.
Jay Smith, if I were to take an investment course, where would I begin?
Well, one thing, I'm going to be putting together my own investment course, not a course, but a series of videos that kind of take you through step by step to learn about different patterns, understanding the markets. What are these different definitions and terms? So if you can hang on a little bit, I'm going to put that together for you to help you guys take action in this market. I want to teach you different patterns. Because once you understand these technical patterns, it's really not rocket science. Like when you can see these things happening.
Can I speak from probably a point of view that would be a better starting point than that for people like me? Because I know a lot of people like me in this chat room would be how to even get set up to start buying. Because it's like with all the, having to have a VPN and setting VPN. Up these accounts and knowing where to get stuff, like that core would be better for me to know before I even start looking at patterns. I have no idea even how to get to where I can see patterns. So like I would need like, let's start from the very beginning, the core of getting it all set up and then move to that.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also hesitate on that because I think for a lot of people, they'll just want to cut right to how do I just start trading, and then they don't do the homework and they start losing money. So I agree with you, like that'll be in there. I want to do a whole video on how to set up your accounts. Like here's step one. Here's how to set up your VPN. And I'll dumb it down because I'm not very smart. Like I will make it, I'm explaining it to my 10-year-old. That's how I want to do it. That's how I learn, you know, there are no dumb questions, right? And so when I started, I was asking a lot of dumb questions. I still ask dumb questions. One of my mentors, I text him a lot and I'm like, what does this even mean? And I'm still, we're all learning constantly. You know, you have to be a lifelong learner, right? So I think setting up those videos that way would be great. I definitely will have a thing in there about how to set up this account, how to transfer money over to this, how to set up your VPN, all of that.
Even from a philosophical standpoint, like the risks versus the rewards and all that stuff, like explaining that and then explaining like not just like setting up accounts, but like, you know, the philosophies behind like getting started, you know, like the things you want to watch out for and stuff getting into it.
Yeah, I think, you know, people get emotional with trading and you can't do that. That's what we saw yesterday. And so if you can have the balls to go in and buy yesterday, like you did, I mean, you did that yesterday, right? I did that yesterday, but everyone was panicking. I mean, you see how many people liquidated their accounts yesterday. People freaked out. Right? People freaked out. You know, I don't understand how people put all their like life savings. They do this kind of stuff. Like yesterday, I don't know if I showed you this. I did. Elon Musk tweeted this, you know, Tesla has diamond hands. Credit to our master of coin. Elon, I invested my entire life savings into these imaginary coins and lost literally everything. I will never see my kids again. And I've been living on the street for 3 days. Thank you for tweeting this, sir. Can you please help keep tweeting so I can get my money back and my life back? Mr. Beast. I keep in tweet. It's an emotional roller coaster.
Like
you're the most hated person
Elon
in the
Musk
world right
never
now.
Never once said go invest your life savings, but people blame him. And that's exactly why I'm saying for you to establish these kind of workshops to cover your bases so that people don't come back and blame you, because that's exactly what'll happen. And that's why you have to like set the bar and make people understand that, you know, this is their risk, not yours. Because right. These people that are blaming him, that is absolutely not his fault.
Yeah. Peter Schiff weighing in on this too. This reference is not really appropriate. as while diamonds are strong, have actual value, so they have nothing in common with Bitcoin. So even if your hands are strong, what you're holding is weak. That's ignorant. Peter Schiff. Like,
yeah, but he's like, I mean, he's an old school money guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
An old school money libertarian.
Harsh. Harsh Chowdhury says, Elon, I lost all of my life savings because you told me to invest in Doge. My wife is about to leave me. I've lost my job and I'm about to be homeless. Thank you, Elon. First of all, I don't think that Elon
can we go back and see the tweet or the message where he told him that? Like, where's your evidence?
Right.
And that's exactly what happens. Like, I review tech products on my channel, right? I make sure that I do my due diligence on every product, and because if I talk about a product and somebody buys it and it doesn't do what I say it will do, or it doesn't do what they think it's going to do, they come back and they're like, I just spent $1,400 on this thing and it doesn't do what you said. And I'm like, I never said it would do that. I never said buy it. Like, people hear what they want to hear.
You know, Elon says, I'm working with Doge developers to improve system transaction efficiency, potentially promising. So if that's him telling this guy to invest in Doge, then, you know, that's on him. That's on that dude, you know?
Well, and he's not even saying potentially promising for the stock, for the Doge to go up. He's saying potentially promising for a clean infrastructure.
Right. How about you stop manipulating the crypto markets? You know, here's the thing. I did a video yesterday on this exact thing, you know, because when you're saying things and you're fooling with people, like, it's different. Like, if you're just saying, hey, I'm working with Doge developers on this particular protocol to make it more efficient, great. But if you're fooling around with people, like, and you know the game that you're playing, that's when I have a problem with it, right? If you're saying, if someone tweets, yeah, people are going to be freaked out if you sell all of your, if they find out that Tesla has sold all of their Bitcoin, indeed, like, and he responds, like, he knows he's playing with fire. Any word he says around this, that's going to tank markets. People are going to lose money. Just be a little bit more thoughtful. You know, maybe he could have responded to that, since we now know he had to come out later and qualify that and say, actually, no, we didn't sell any of our Bitcoin. Tesla still owns all of it. He could have said something to that guy like, no, Tesla, we're not selling our Bitcoin. Right?
I mean, but the thing is, every news story, every, like, go after the market guys on the TV channels that are talking the same smack. Like, they're, you know, like, it's so volatile that any news,
right,
from anybody can move it.
Yeah. Coinbase is up. Coinbase is up and exploding right now. This is interesting.
Rick Flatch, apparently the towing weight to distance ratio is no different than a Tesla. It's an EV issue. Ghost and stuff, could you explain your bear case for Safe Moon? It's already recovering from this dip. Also has a partnership with Gambia. Seems like a good buy.
I don't know. I've just, because it's centralized, I've just stayed away from it. So that's my thinking on it, to be honest with you. I just, because it's centralized, and that's what, you know, when I'm investing in people's currency, what I'm trying to do is invest in people's currency, you know, decentralized, which is not tied to any state. And that's what I find appealing about these investments. They're not tied to any state and state manipulation. And when you have centralized, then that's exactly what you're hoping to avoid, you know? So I'm not, there's plenty of other areas to make money in right now. There's plenty of other coins and projects that I think have real value, like Cardano, like Polkadex, like Internet Computer, like Ethereum, like Bitcoin, that I think have a lot bigger and better store of value than some of these centralized projects that I'm just, you know, I'd rather just stay away from it for now.
Then Brock Diamond with a super chat. Kathleen Rose. Hi, lovelies and lil man. Love. Curious how you keep from being overwhelmed with all the different accounts or buy sell of coins, stocks, since you can't get it all in one place. Y'all rock.
Yeah, it's a good question, you know, and I think when I put my video series together for all of you, I'm going to explain, like, why. Do you ever sleep with your eyes open? It's like what Grover's doing right now. It's like sleeping with his eyes open.
No, but I know that the Metallica, Enter Sandman, tells you that you should sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight.
Yeah, when I do this video series, I want to show you. I don't get overwhelmed by it. I know that there are a couple of big accounts that I use, like Bybit and Binance and KuCoin. Like, those are my three that I use. And then I get money into the system by using BlockFi and Coinbase. And that's really it. And then I keep a whiteboard. You know, I have a whiteboard in my office. Cheap whiteboard. You get on Amazon or go to Walmart, whatever. And and get some, you know, erasable markers and just track what five coins you're buying, six coins. Like, I don't do much more than that. Five, six coins is like what I track and buy. So I might have two over on KuCoin that I buy and three over on Binance or three over on Bybit. So there's not, I kind of know, like, I can only get Polkadex on KuCoin. That's the only, you know, so I have to do it that way.
Yeah, Clayton's pretty laid back and relaxed about most things. He's kind of like a stoner that doesn't smoke pot.
That's true. Yeah, I've never done a drug in my life, but I'm pretty laid back. I would say I'm not a moody person, you know. Like, not a
you're just pretty level.
Wild ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Scientific, could you please explain ICP? I'm confused about it.
Sure. So ICP is a decentralized platform. Let me show you ICP as we're talking about it. It's a decentralized platform that will allow people to post on the internet. It's on the blockchain, allow people to post on the internet, create internet accounts. You could create a banking app if you want to. You could create a whatever, without having to use one of the big services like Amazon Web Services or Google or Facebook. Right now, like, if I want to host a file somewhere, like, most big companies use AWS, you know, Amazon Web Services. Like, how much of the internet would you say is run on Amazon Web Services? Like, almost all of it? I mean, even Apple uses some Amazon Web Services, don't they?
Apple? I'm not sure about that one. All I know is that half the internet goes down when their servers go down.
Yeah, so Amazon... So imagine then a decentralized blockchain platform, internet computer, that will allow you to use the internet free of those people, free of those tech oligarchs.
For like Parler.
Build a game. Yeah, like Parler could use. I mean, exactly. Right? So it's not controlled by any of the, it's not controlled by Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, or Google. And so that's one of the main facets of internet computer ICP. I think it's exciting. So here's where, you know, here's where we are right now. It's 183. This is a 30-minute chart. So I hope that helps. Thank you for your super chat on that question. Any other super chats?
Nope. I'm good.
Still doing check out our store also. Like, that's where, you know, the hoodie I'm wearing right now, you can get in the store at the Morning Invest store. morninginvest.com/store. Get our Grover mugs. Did you get my message about the graphics though the other day? So I was saying I'm gonna get the new mugs ready to go.
Yeah, I did. I think okay.
So get these ready to go. And we have our buy the dip shirt that's gonna be coming out soon too. So we've got a bunch of good stuff coming. New graphics coming. I can't wait for all that. Cameras coming. Everything. So we
lots of goodies
to
try coming.
To build the best morning business show on the web. That's our goal. We cover all the big market news. It helps you navigate this crazy space, make some money. So I'm going to go do some trades right now. I've got some coins I want to buy. Much love to all of you guys. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. If you're new here, we do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We have videos throughout the day as well. So turn on that little bell notification, subscribe to the channel. We're trying to make you a more intelligent investor. Learn this market, be educated, and build some wealth for your family. That's the goal here. All right, everyone, we will see you a little bit later. Peace out, everyone.